In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One wonders how young John Mark, later the evangelist Saint Mark, would have fared in our certification and placement committee. Whether he would stand today for a vicarage assignment or tomorrow for a call into the holy ministry. If it had been up to the Apostle Paul at the beginning of his second missionary journey, Mark would not have been chosen for the mission track. But Mark's cousin Barnabas, after a sharp disagreement with Paul, decided that Mark was worth the risk, and he took him along to Cyprus. Good thing that he did. Barnabas clearly saw an evangelist under that youthful exterior. No one knows why Paul did not want John Mark along. In the book of Acts, it only says that Barnabas wanted to take Mark, but that Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Even though Mark was not one of the 12, he was there from the beginning. The house of his mother Mary may have been where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, and it certainly was the house where Peter fled after his miraculous escape from prison in Acts 12. Mary's house was command central for the apostles in Jerusalem, and John Mark was there for all the big events. And when Barnabas and Paul return from Jerusalem to Antioch, they take John Mark with them. Mark was a companion of both Paul and Peter, and tradition tells us that he writes his gospel as Peter's interpreter. There are even some who think that Mark identifies himself in his gospel as the naked young man who flees at Jesus' betrayal and arrest. Like many of us in the church, Mark had his ups and downs. But somehow, in some way, perhaps through his cousin Barnabas, that son of encouragement, that son of consolation, who saw something in Mark and took him under his wing, somehow Mark finds himself with Paul during Paul's imprisonment in Caesarea Maritima, along with Luke and many others. And 10 years after his falling out with Paul in Antioch, Paul tells Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Mark is very useful to me for ministry. This is the Apostle Paul's estimation of John Mark, son of Mary, naked young man running away in fear, the one who was not willing to do the hard work in missions. Here is the one that Paul places alongside of himself at the end of his life. The Gospel of Mark proclaims with clarity and great passion the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus unplugged, straight up, no frills. Here is Peter's Jesus and yours, the Messiah Christ who announces at the beginning of the Gospel, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Here is the suffering Son of Man who announces, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And here is the risen Christ who declares the mission of the church, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." These words of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark must have been sweet ones to Paul, who sees that his end is near. Paul had a lively sense that he was a foot soldier in the front lines of an apocalyptic battle, a war declared by the Spirit between the baptized and the principalities and powers of this world. Who can blame Paul for being tired of this world with all its temptations and dangers? Tired of confessing the true faith in a church that was always on the verge of apostasy with its itching ears, a church turning away from the truth, a church wandering off into myths. More than once, Paul must have yearned for that sweet death to take him to be with his Lord, to lie down and sleep in peace. That's why Paul tells Timothy, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." For Paul, it was quite simple. As much as he may have longed for the quiet slumber of death, he knew that he could not grow weary in what he had been called to do. Preach the word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. When Paul calls Timothy to these things, he knows that it will lead to suffering, suffering for the gospel. Since God inaugurated this war at the cross, Paul knows himself, and now Timothy, to suffer on behalf of the cross of Christ. No wonder Paul is ready to receive the crown of righteousness. He longed to join the martyred throng of Revelation, that company of prophets and apostles and saints in blood-washed robes before the throne of the Lamb. And so should we. Sometimes we feel like Paul. We have fought the good fight. We have finished the course. We have kept the faith. We, too, are ready to be poured out as a drink offering. But many of you, seminarians and deaconesses alike, are only now ready to enter the fray. Expectations are high for vicarage assignments and deaconess internships and calls into the holy ministry. On this day, what Paul says of himself, he also says of all of you. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.